This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Good morning, colleagues. I'm not sure if my camera is showing. Oh, where's my face today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hi. Yes, good afternoon, everyone. I don't know what's going on, but this is me today. And thank you, colleagues from Community Engagement, for ensuring that this project grows. Thank you also for being creative by ensuring that schools from rural areas are able to join. And I can assure you that our radio station is also joining and broadcasting this live, because this is a terrible hour for us and a terrible hour for you as well, I can imagine. But it is working out perfectly for all of us. So some people are joining through MUT Campus Radio. Thank you. And we look forward to ensuring that this project grows.
Thank you, Mrs. Mkize. Thank you very much for those warm words. Colleagues, as I indicated earlier on, I'm the Director of Community Engagement, and one of our pillars is student volunteerism. That is where we encourage students in the university to volunteer their services without expecting anything in return. But we know that by volunteering, that is, it enhances them, and it makes them grow to understand what is going on out there in the communities. It also prepares them for the world of work and also for outside the world of work. So really, we are very big on that as MUT. And right now, before we even come to our discussions and engagements, perhaps I could give allow time for Nikki just to introduce the team before she can. We'll do that, and then with your agreement, I'll just bring in one of our students, 2 minutes, just to pitch on what they are doing with the MUT, and then I'll hand over to you, to Nikki there. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. My name is Nicole Richards. Nikki, I'm the operations manager of the Committee for South African Solidarity. And I'll definitely tell you a little bit more about myself. But I'm from South Africa originally, and so happy to be here. And then with me this afternoon, I have Serena Sechugu, who's the administrative assistant and also full-time organizer with COSIS. Isaiah Chambers, who's our volunteer coordinator and is doing a week full-time organizing training this week. To my right is Carrie Hayes, who's our entertainment and thank you letter coordinator, and John Moore, who's a board member letter coordinator. So thank you so much again for having us.
Thank you, Nikki. Thank you for that brief introduction. You are warmly welcome. Welcome from South Africa. Thank you very much. At this point, I just want to bring on board our student by the name of Sithandwa Mampuru, just to give us a highlight of what she does at MUT, the student volunteer. But just a quick background, she is one of our award winners for excellence in student volunteerism. The floor is yours, Sithandwa. You are not audible.
Good day. Good day.
Good day.
Oh, am I audible?
Yes, you are now.
Thank you. Thank you, Prof. Ika, my name is Sithandwa Sethu Mampuru. I am a student volunteer at MUT. I'm under the Directorate of Community Engagement and Development. I've been a volunteer for a year now. And over the year, we've done several activities. We have done a lot of activities from...
Sorry, Prof, can I just repeat? This thing is, the sharing is not giving us problems. Let me just share again. Sorry.
Okay, Doc.
So as I was saying, throughout the year, last year, the year 2025, we had several activities here at Community Engagement. One of our activities included the Janet Hardy Center, which is a shelter in Durban Central, where some of our volunteers go and feed the people there. That's just one of our activities. One of our other activities is the Green Initiative for Climate Change. It is an initiative. It was started last year, and this year we're expecting for it to actually kick from the ground running. And then with one of the benefits of volunteerism is the awards. Last year we had our inaugural Research Innovation and Engagement Awards, where myself and Ms. Nofezile Jani were awarded Student Volunteers of the Year. And then finally, we had our Scholarship of Engagement Conference last year, which included several institutions here in the country and outside of the country. We had Univenda, we had University of Free State, we had some of our stakeholders from different provinces and different countries as well. And then we also had, the other day, we just had our visit to the parliament, where we were privileged enough to attend the SOPA debate, which is the stage of the provincial address debate in parliament in Pietermaritzburg. And also at the end of the year, last year, we had our student reflection session, where student volunteers that participated throughout the year were invited to share their experiences, what they learned, what they enjoyed in the volunteerism, and what they think could improve. Thank you.
Thank you very much to Sitandwa Sethu Mampuru. I call her Sitandwa in short. Without further ado, I'm not sure whether our listeners or people that are on the that have joined us want to write on the chat. You are more than welcome to send your comments on the chat. And then we then hand over now to Nikki. Nikki, the floor is yours. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you again. Good afternoon. And thank you so much, Dr. Shozi and Imbali, for inviting us to speak with you all today. So as I said, my name is Nicole Richards. I'm the operations manager for the Committee for South African Solidarity, COSIS, which was founded in 1993 in Northern California and organizes international solidarity for the ongoing struggle to achieve the goals of the Freedom Charter in South Africa and how we connect concerned people in the United States with the people of South Africa in solidarity through grassroots organizing so that together we can build a more just and sustainable world free of poverty and injustice. So a little bit about myself. I am a full-time organizer since 2010. I've been the operations manager since 2016, and I'm originally from Johannesburg. I moved to the United States with my mother and my two sisters in 2005. And my mother's a nurse and was assigned to a rural area in Northern California called Yuba City. And so when I moved to the United States, I had no idea about the level of poverty in this country. You know, I saw farm labor camps in Northern California where farm workers who were hired to grow and pick and pack the crops, mostly immigrants from Mexico and Central America. You know, the camps and living quarters, you know, I saw raw sewage. you know, that was flowing in the back of the barrack style housing that they live in, and saw people with no teeth in their mouths, because even though they were working, could not afford dental care. And I saw houses with dirt floors. And it just reminded me of the conditions in South Africa. And the more I saw of cities and rural areas in the United States, I began to realize that the American dream was only a dream for an increasingly smaller number of people. And I understood that I couldn't just run away from the problem, and decided I wanted to be part of solving it and ending poverty both here in the United States and in South Africa, so everyone could live a life of decency and dignity. So I began volunteering full time with the farmwork organization where I lived for about a year. And then I learned about COSIS, and I joined as a full time organizer with COSIS in 2012. So I was very excited to be able to assist my home country and put my efforts toward achieving those goals. So yeah, and I am a full-time organizer, and I've been the operations manager, like I said, since 2016. And so with me, I have Serena Sechugu, who will introduce herself.
Hi, greetings. I'm Serena Sechugu. I'm the administrative assistant here and also a full-time volunteer organizer since 2022. My family is from Rwanda, a small country in East Africa, as you know. But I grew up here in Sonoma, a small town north of the San Francisco Bay Area. When the COVID-19 pandemic happened, I saw our community's businesses closing their doors, families losing their loved ones, my friends losing their jobs. And this was a wake-up call to me that so many people were not able to make it through this crisis. They had nothing to fall back on and were getting no support from the government to keep going. I didn't know what to do about the conditions of poverty that I saw until I began volunteering with a grassroots organization in Oakland, made up of the lowest paid service workers in the county. Service workers here are the people who clean people's homes, do gardening, serve tables or cook, take care of the elderly, pack bags and groceries and deliveries. It's all unprotected, low paid work here, yet the economy is dependent on this whole large strat of workers. And just as I'm sure it is in South Africa. And the organization I began volunteering with was canvassing every week in low income communities where low paid workers live, to find out what they needed, sign them up as members. And I saw some of the worst poverty conditions I'd ever seen. Working people who were thousands of dollars in debt from losing their homes. They were rationing food day to day, forgoing medical and dental care. I heard stories of families having their electricity shut off because they couldn't pay the bills, and having their children taken away by the welfare agency, having their water shut off, and having to ask their neighbors for a hose to bathe their newborns. Now, these were some of the same conditions that I'd seen in Rwanda and that I knew existed in other areas in Africa, and that my parents had been also fighting to change my whole life. So I volunteered with them for a while, and then I learned of COSIS, and I joined with COSIS in August of 2022 as a full-time volunteer organizer, because not only did I see the problems of Africa and the problems of the U.S. were linked, but also that the solutions are also linked. And that's why I'm here with COSIS. Also here for this presentation is our volunteers coordinator, Isaiah Chambers.
Hello, everyone. My name is Isaiah Chambers, and I coordinate the tactics and process for recruiting and training volunteers at COSIS. I've been volunteering with COSIS since 2023. I'm a native of the Bay Area, and I volunteer because as an educator in the Oakland Unified School District, I have seen the direct impact of the U.S. government policies on our youth here in the U.S. with divestment of education, with school closures, and lack of resources. I worked at a school last year where the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders were reading at a first grade level, and I joined COSIS to further my understanding of the entire international situation and how to change these conditions in the U.S. and in Africa.
Yes, and also with us today are some of our COSIS members, both in South Africa and Namibia, are listening in, and of course, John and Carrie in the office. So we really appreciate being here. So that's a little bit about ourselves and the things that are going on here in the U.S. that led us to be organizers and building international solidarity with South Africa, and why we're very happy to be talking with you all. So the theme of this masterclass is the method of community-based organizing COSIS uses to connect concerned people in the US with people in South Africa and the ongoing struggle to achieve the 1955 Freedom Charter goals. So this is a lot to cover, so please keep with us and we'll have time for discussion, question and answer at the end. So we definitely look forward to talking with you more. So when COSIS was founded in early 1993, the negotiations to end apartheid and install a democratic government were just starting. You know, nothing was certain as to the future, as to who would govern South Africa yet or how. The mainstream corporate media was full of misinformation, claiming that all the international pressure on the apartheid governments was no longer needed. And the divestment campaign could stop and everything was good now because Nelson Mandela was released and the two sides were talking. But, you know, nothing was agreed to yet. And the pressure did need to stay on in order to have an outcome that would indeed give all South Africans full rights. So that is when COSIS was formed to combat the misinformation and build international ongoing solidarity. So COSIS was founded on the premise that international solidarity was still critically needed because ending apartheid was just the first step. And we understood that having the vote does not give you the power over how the economy is run. And the goal was and still to achieve the 1955 Freedom Charter.
So why the Freedom Charter? As you likely know, it was the result in 1955, of an expanding mass movement for liberation in South Africa at a time when there was growing repression from the apartheid government. Organizers at the time understood that they needed a positive program to organize and mobilize because it wasn't enough to just end apartheid. Organizations including the African National Congress, but also the South African Indian Congress, the South African Colored People's Organization, and South African Congress of Trade Unions sent out over 8,000 volunteers to carry out a grassroots campaign around the country, town meeting by town meeting, village by village, to craft that document and to put it forward as the demands and program around which they would unite their people. The campaign brought together many different ethnic groups and numerous organizations around what they had in common: the need and desire for decent housing, food, education, and justice. The Congress of the People took place at Cliptown on June 25th to the 26th, 1955, attended by more than 3,000 delegates, including 300 Indians, 200 coloreds, and 100 whites. The Freedom Charter was read aloud section by section and adopted by acclamation over the 2 days before police broke up the gathering on the second day. In 1994, when political power was gained, the transfer of economic power was actually extremely limited, with the vast majority of the nation's resources kept in the hands of the same very small grouping of national and international corporations. Even while the negotiations were going on, the apartheid government was undoing the nationalizations they had undertaken earlier in order to keep economic control in their own hands, not in the hands of the new government. The international anti-apartheid movement was demobilizing here because they thought the struggle was won. Now, no political program or demand can be understood without looking at the conditions under which the program or demand came about. No political party, no political movement exists in a vacuum. There are forces to contend with within the country and outside internationally. If in the negotiations, the ANC and allied parties went further to demand not only political power, the vote, and elections that everyone could participate in, but also demanded economic control and nationalized mines and banks, they would have been smashed, because the US and apartheid government would have never allowed that. And at the same time, there were no strong countries in the global South that could defend and support the new South African government against these powers. So they couldn't risk it and went with elections and political power and end to apartheid as the first step. That is why COSIS is continuing to build international solidarity and is organizing in the U.S. in support of South Africa's struggle, as this is where the world's largest corporations and banks are headquartered, and our government, the U.S. government, continues to wield its military and financial force against any nation not bowing to their demands. But the world has changed a great deal now since 1994. There are now more countries in the Global South who are able to assist each other. And there is now much more cooperation between African nations themselves for intracontinental trade. So things are moving forward, but it's still a big struggle.
So to have an insight on our method of organizing, let's look at COSIS's beginnings. When COSIS started 33 years ago, we formed it as an all-volunteer membership association, taking no government funds, with a basic goal: to bring people together who were concerned but misinformed about what was going on in South Africa, to be able to fight the misinformation and disinformation in the mainstream corporate press about the real changes taking place in South Africa post-apartheid, and assist the people of South Africa to realize the aims of the South African Freedom Charter, the trillions of dollars we need to lift billions of people out of poverty in the world and save our planet being destroyed by global warming and pollution is there. But it is in the hands of a few hundred thousand people who control that wealth. Even though it is working people who create the wealth, it's not rocket science. There are more of us than there are of them, but we have to be better organized to be able to win change and to be able to do things like carry out the 1955 Freedom Charter. So what is it that we do? COSIS's first priority when we were founded was to publish our newsletter, The South African Beacon, as you see in front of you, to tell the true story of post-apartheid South Africa. This is just as important now because there is a great deal of misinformation as well as a lack of information in the U.S. about what is developing in Africa. Especially today, our newsletter, The South African Beacon, is a platform for members in South Africa to tell the truth about the challenges they are facing in their communities and of the positive developments as well. Our South African Solidarity Campaign is a yearly project centered around requests from COSIS members who are teachers and principals in low-resource schools struggling to build a modern education system and make literacy and quality education available to all children of South Africa. These schools are located in Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Gauteng, Northwest, and the KZN provinces. This campaign is not a charity. We know that these supplies, while vitally important, in themselves will not solve the problem. But the process of gathering the supplies and getting the word out to people here in the U.S. gives us a chance to involve more people in solidarity with South Africa and to provide a demonstration of what we can accomplish when we prioritize people over profit, and how there are the resources available to solve these problems. Additionally, we are at the beginning stages of building a self-help mutual benefits committee made up of COSIS members in South Africa and members and volunteers here in the U.S. to organize these resources. We can't ship due to import regulations to fill needed requests for 20 under-resourced schools such as computers, desktop, laptops, and projectors and other equipment for their classrooms.
So a bit about our structure. Since our founding, COSIS is all volunteer from top to bottom, and no one is paid for any of their participation with COSIS, including full-time organizers. Our approach involves volunteers learning how to carry out an assignment under the supervision of a certified organizer, or at least someone who has learned the aspect of the project that you're about to do. This way, volunteers can start to pass on what they learned, and in this way can learn the material better themselves. It is see one, do one, teach one, so that it can be reproducible and teach people the skills of being an organizer. We provide on-the-job training, so no prior skills are needed. This approach is what allows us to remain all volunteer, take no government funding or any other outside money from forces that could try to compel us to abandon the Freedom Charter. You come in, you begin to learn, and as you learn, you train the next one that comes along. It's a winning method. It was a major victory to end apartheid, and it took people organizing in South Africa and the U.S. Now it's up to us to finish this fight. bring it to its full victory. An end to poverty in South Africa, an end to poverty and exploitation in all of Africa, and an end to poverty here in the US and the world. We need to carry that fight for freedom until we win. We encourage your participation in programs in your communities and to partner with COSIS's South African Solidarity Campaign, working to defeat the lingering vestiges of Bantu education, build a new road to education, housing, jobs, healthcare, and development for and by the majority of the South African people, consistent with the Freedom Charter principles that continues to resonate so strongly today. Together we can win, but we need your participation to grow our solidarity campaigns and build a world that works for all of us. As the African proverb goes, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully, is this all making sense? Please raise your hand. We are definitely excited. Thank you. And I hope you've been writing down some of your questions. But before we wrap up for questions, I did want to tell you how you can bring COSIS to your community and how you can get involved and carry out some of this community-based organizing too, where you are. So what you can do, to start, you can join as a COSIS member. COSIS is a membership association promoting the implementation of the 1955 Freedom Charter. Joining as a COSIS member means that you agree with our goals and will receive copies of our publications and are invited to class presentations we hold. And if you're part of a school or organization that needs school supplies, as a COSIS member, you can make requests for supplies. You can also help us get the truth about the development in South Africa and other parts of the continent by volunteering as a correspondent for South African Beacon. A correspondent accepts assignments from COSIS to write about a specific topic or do an interview with someone who's an expert on a specific topic. You can also submit an article or articles, send photos that go with articles, or take photos for articles that we're writing, or write a letter to the editor. We need volunteer artists, illustrators, as well as distributors of South African Beacon. Distribute the Beacon to people interested in your school, your community, church, and organization. Host COSIS for a speaking engagement at your church, class, or organization. Just remember, we're 9 hours ahead. You're 9 hours ahead of us. So we are working on procuring also computers in South Africa. And this is an opportunity to use our collective power and move this project forward. First, it's computers, but these same skills can be applied to fighting for bigger things. We may run into obstacles that can only be solved by going to these agencies in person, speaking to someone who can help us to fulfill the doors of learning and culture shall be opened by helping us to get these approvals done properly. But it is also an opportunity to organize allies in the community, businesses who can help and join our efforts to make the goals of the Freedom Charter possible. By building awareness and cooperation at a community level, you can also help organize donation of computers to the poorest schools who need them. We can talk to you about ways to do that, finding companies with computers who can donate there in South Africa. So we're looking for people who want to join our committee and want to help with referrals to businesses or organizations who might have access to computers that they can donate or arrange to be donated. And if you're generally, if you're interested in general, but not sure how you can help right now, no worries. Please send us your contact details in the private message to the COSIS profile here in the Teams, and we will contact you. We want to open this for questions and discussions, but feel free to please leave your name and number in the private chat on the COSIS profile, and we'll have a volunteer be taking down your contact information, and we'll contact you directly to let you know about ways you can get involved. And then we also have on the screen our contact details if you would like to contact us And our email and WhatsApp numbers. So our email is beaconhani@gmail.com. And for those on the radio, that spells BEACONHANI@gmail.com. And then our telephone number is +1 510-251-0998. And you can leave us a WhatsApp message or give us a call. So while people are leaving their contact details, I'd like to open the floor up for questions. And thank you so much for having us and sharing today.
Wow. Thank you so much. A round of applause for Nikki and the colleagues for such an inspiring presentation. Really, it's touching us as we live with these challenges at our doorsteps. As for us at MUT, we are a university in a township. We see these challenges on a daily basis. We always see these are at our doorsteps. So as Community Engagement and Development Directorate, this is our call and our mandate as a university to make sure that we are in touch with our communities. We're not just an ivory tower university, and also expose our students and also to learn, because there's a lot of learning when they volunteer, because at the end of the day we are shaping students. It's a holistic development of our students. But I want to stop here so that I can allow, we are left with about how many minutes, 23 minutes for questions and areas for clarity to our participants, especially the students that and learners from the various schools. And also, even if it's the teachers, if they want more information from this presentation, the floor now is open. Thank you. I believe we are taking the picture of these contacts, the email address. I see a hand from Mrs. Simkise Mbali. The floor is yours.
I wish to thank all the speakers for your great presentations. I really enjoyed it for God knows how many times I've been listening to you. I would like to request that maybe in the last few minutes we have, just share with us how one can start a volunteer development program, just to make it easier for everybody here. And also take note that most individuals want to volunteer, but they are also not so rich, they don't have much. Maybe just give us or share with us some qualities that one needs to inculcate in oneself to make things happen for those poorer than us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sibali. Maybe let's take two more questions and then we can allow Nikki to respond. I don't see a show of hands. Okay, there's a hand from Lokshin Mobile Library. The floor is yours.
Good afternoon, change makers. My question to Kosas is, and thank you so much for your beautiful presentation, by the way. But my question is, how can we integrate literacy programs that are from the community, for instance, like the Lokshin Mobile Library, into courses structures at universities and schools, to strengthen like student support and community impact in our underserved communities in South Africa? Thank you.
Thank you for that question. Do we have the last one? Okay, maybe Nikki. Do you want a follow-up question, Lokshin? Okay, Nikki, the floor is yours.
Okay,
Yeah, great. This is Serena here. Happy to take some of those questions. So the first one from Ms. McKeezy was how to start a volunteer program and what can volunteers do who don't have very much money? Well, I will tell you most volunteers here do not have very much money. And what we say is the two qualities you need is you have to care and be willing to work. So those are really the only two qualities you must have to be a great volunteer. And everything else can be learned on the job. Obviously, COSIS provides volunteer organizer training, which can be accessed virtually with us. We do regular calls with our members and volunteers alike. And there's obviously that list of ways that people can participate with us. How to start a volunteer program, I think on your own is what Ms. McKeezy was asking about. I would say if you have questions about that, definitely send us a message. But the first step is getting training. You've got to know some key, you've got to get training and key skills. You know, how do you speak with people in your community? How do you organize support? How a lot of our work, like 70% of our work is done on the phone. And so that's a critical skill to learn. How do you reach out to people and do the work to ensure that people show up? I'm sure the student volunteer who was speaking earlier, who's running volunteer programs on campus, I'm sure you faced the challenge of, you know, you set up a volunteer activity and then not that many people show up. That's normal. So we teach volunteers, how do you overdetermine that you have enough people, enough support, enough resources to then actualize your plan? Whether that's setting up a, you know, volunteer sorting session for things that have come in that you want to distribute, or doing a writing session to write an article for your local school newspaper. All of those things take a series of steps to prepare ahead of time to ensure that they're then actualized successfully. So all of those skills can easily be learned, but it just takes time, your willingness to work, and that you care. Anything to add? No. Okay, great. And then for thank you so much, Letha Samson, for coming. It's great. Letha's a new COSIS member, and we were able to actually meet him when he was here in San Francisco. So it's great that you're here on the call. How could you integrate literacy programs into the COSIS structure? Well, many of our members in South Africa run schools, and that's definitely a major challenge. So we could definitely discuss that more. But the urgent need for people in the community to volunteer with the local schools and primary schools and assist the schools, I think is something that is needed and could be coordinated with COSIS to make an impact. You know, so people who are interested in working in local schools with students or would like to assist with literacy or connect, then that's one way that we could work with you. Because I know that many of our members who are principals and teachers in local schools are always in need of volunteers. So that's my initial thoughts, but I think I'd probably have to think more about it. But that's those are some initial thoughts.
Thank you, Nikki. Thank you very much. I suppose you have covered the two questions, and I think Lokshin wanted to have another question from your side, but maybe let me use this opportunity to ask from you. I'm very much interested in the lessons learned at the end of the day. I see the activities that are taking place, but what are the lessons that you're learning, and what do you plan to do about those lessons? Thank you. And then maybe Lokshin can come on board with his other question.
Sorry. No. Oh, was that a question for COSIS or was that a question for the whole group? Sorry.
COSIS.
Oh, okay. So lessons learned from volunteering?
Yes.
Yeah, lessons learned. Well, many lessons learned. It's hard to pick just a few. But I would say, Yeah, the power of our communities, like the power of reaching out to people in your community with a request, with an ask, and how many people actually will take up that request if you put it out there and you have an organized way for them to participate. So we do tables, outreach tables, 3 or 4 times a week to universities, in front of grocery stores. You saw some photos of that. And one of the reasons why we have a storage space where we collect the thousands of books and supplies that we get donated and then shipped to South Africa, we now have a 4,000 square foot storage space. I don't know what that is in meters, but a massive storage space right in the downtown of Oakland here near San Francisco is because we were asking every single person on every single table for like 6 months. And, you know, the amount of times we got, oh, you'll never get one. No one will ever donate a space. You know, real estate is crazy. Even though during COVID, there were so many empty buildings, you know, businesses that had shut down, commercial spaces that were empty, but we kept getting those, but we kept putting the demand and requests forward. And we met a woman on a table the night before Thanksgiving during the holidays. And she told us that her and her husband were in the property management business. And 6 months later, we had a storage space, which we've been at now for over 2 years. And it's where we've sent our latest shipment of books and school supplies to 11 schools and community organizations just this last November, 27,000 pounds, 20,000 books, which would not have been possible without this storage space. So, the power of putting out a request and a demand and having an organized way that people can participate is really powerful. And but we have to, one, you know, do the work to learn the skills of organizing and have an organization through which people can participate. But when you have that, people do stand up and they do take responsibility for not only the people in their own lives, but the people of the world that they've never met before. Mm-hmm. Because in general, working people all see eventually that we have a lot more in common than we do not. So I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I've learned, and that I think we of COSIS has learned, and how we're still here 33 years later.
Yeah, and really through that community approach, how we can actually solve these problems and be able to, you know, overcome so many more challenges through involving the people. So yeah, I definitely agree with Serena.
Sure. Yeah, this is amazing. Yeah, this is really amazing. I don't want to close out anyone out on asking maybe some questions. I see some chats here. There is a chat from Chabalala Riboningo. Might want clarity on how COSAS aims to address and deal with challenges such as social inequalities led by the apartheid era, which is affecting students at various institutions in South Africa. I'm not sure that Nick will be able to respond to that. It's on the chat.
Yeah, that's a great question. COSIS, you know, our role is in effect organizing here in the United States, because we know that many of the challenges that continue to exist in South Africa, as we presented on, are coming from, you know, some of the biggest powers in the world headquartered right here in the US. So our efforts is really to support the efforts of the people of South Africa through doing the critical work of organizing here in the US, building more support and solidarity with the efforts of people in South Africa, the African continent, and the world. But what we can do to assist you as someone living in South Africa is that organizer training in how to build organization in support of positive movements, you know, and efforts for change towards these solutions that people need, right? Safe and clean housing, education and healthcare. And our goal is to work with as many students as possible in initiatives that they have. So if you please send us your information in the chat so we can continue the conversation and ways that talk to you about ways that you can participate with us. But we see that, you know, addressing and dealing with the challenges of social inequality in South Africa, you know, obviously has to be done by the people of South Africa, but our efforts here is to support by building support within the people of the United States. Because we've seen how through our media, you know, that is full of misinformation and disinformation, when the people of the United States don't understand what's going on the African continent, people can be lied to support, you know, the destruction of countries like Libya, you know, or countries around the world, our war that's going on right now in Iran. You know, many people are waking up to this understanding that our government's policies, the U.S.'s government's policies, is really harming efforts for change around the world. So that's where we see our role is, but we want to be an assistance and of support of efforts that you have at home.
Thank you, Nikki. Thank you very much. I think this one would be the last question from Dr. Chosi.
Thanks, Prof. I think it's a follow-up on what Nikki presented. Is around the issue of training. I'm just asking COSAS whether could they assist us if we need them maybe even online to train students or anyone who's willing to be trained on volunteerism, and also any possibility of maybe having one or two or three students coming to just for a week or 2 weeks to your site when you are actually volunteering, so they can see in practice how you actually do it. I know it needs money and so on, but can we maybe think about things like those going forward? Thank you very much, Prof.
Thank you, John. Yeah. It's like you read my mind, because I was also interested. It's just that when you don't have enough money, it's difficult to ask such questions, a student exchange. But Nikki, let's hear from you.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes and yes. So definitely we would love to do, you know, more, you know, a direct online training with volunteers at MUT, at other institutions who are interested in learning the skills. We do volunteer training sessions here every day of the week, whether it's from phoning or outreach. We probably have to change up some of the ways that we do it because it's virtual, but we would love to make that available to as many students or working people. You don't have to be a student, anyone who would like training in that. Can students come to visit COSIS? Yes, we can organize donated housing. At this time, we don't have the resources to like pay for a flight. But if there are students who are interested, who want to learn more, let's talk about it. You know, how can we organize ways for you to come here? But what we definitely can do at this time is organize donated housing for all volunteers that participate. Food is donated, so all volunteers who participate with us get 3 whole meals, unlimited coffee. Transportation is all organized and donated. So any of the like additional costs besides like getting to the United States at this time would be, you know, all donated and covered for any volunteer that would like to do a week, a month, a year full time. Come on down.
Maybe we can explain what is full time.
Oh yeah, and full time for COSIS and for volunteers coming to participate with us. Isaiah, actually our volunteers coordinator, is doing a full time week with us. And it's an intensive. It's 8 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. And that's because there is a lot of work to be done to change our world. And we have volunteers and supporters and members in South Africa. And so we are doing work throughout the day to build COSIS and organize support. We do many tactics every single day throughout the week. So it's Monday through Sunday, 8 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. But volunteer organizers will get both practical training in the phoning, the outreach, speaking engagements, business canvases, and other work like that. as well as classes. We teach daily classes to volunteers doing full time that cover the history of organizing from the anti-apartheid movement, the civil rights movement, the U.S. labor movement, liberation struggles on the African continent and around the world, so that volunteers come away with both a political understanding and an education and a practical ability to then act out on their beliefs. So it's a well-rounded program, and we hope volunteers will take it up, but it's also available virtually. And we have had members who have done classes online, who have done volunteer organizer training. So students interested should not feel like they have to, you know, can only do this if they fly thousands of miles to come and visit us, although we would love to see you.
Thank you. I think we really can start from there before we can do the physical visits. I see two hands, Becky and Mrs. Nkize. I'll start with you, Becky. Thank you, Nikki.
Thanks a lot, Prof. Hi, everybody. And Nicole, as a country, we've gone quite a distance with regards to volunteerism as part of the human activity. In South Africa, we have not gone that far. Is it possible for you to reinforce the idea and to create a solid foundation? Would you be able to share some of the literature available as far as the subject is concerned? Thank you.
So just so I clarify that, or make sure I understand the question. So if there's literature available about the importance of volunteerism in specific?
Yes, and all the relevant information as far as our subject costs is concerned, volunteerism mainly, yes, and any other information that is relevant to the partnership. Thank you.
Sure. I mean, as far as COSIS goes, our website's the best place to get more information, which is www.cosis-beacon.org. As far as recommended literature, one of the books we have volunteers read here, which is US specific, but deals with, you know, movements, people organizing for change, is Labor's Untold Story. Mm-hmm. And I mean, one of the things from our history that we've seen is any movements for change have been led by volunteers, you know, that have been effective. Nelson Mandela was called volunteer in chief. Most unions that were built in the United States were built by volunteers. You know, it's a fairly new phenomenon that organizers are paid. You know, in the United States, you know, there are many paid organizers, but that's not been the historical the history of people organizing within their communities. Oftentimes it's people who are doing this because of a want, because of a need to make change, you know, people and work as well, you know, to put food on the table. But I could definitely, for those who are interested, we can compile some, you know, more literature, but the things that we have volunteers read here to start is some of our newsletters. And so we can mail you some of our newsletters that give some of our background and how we've organized as COSIS. So if you're interested, please again, send our COSIS profile here that Carrie's moderating, your information, your WhatsApp number, and your name. And then we can connect, we can mail you, like postal mail you our newsletter that has much to say about volunteerism and how we've done the organizing work. And then, you know, for outside literature, we can give you some more resources too. Hopefully that helps.
Lastly, Nicole, would you be able to send me something on the Points of Light?
Sorry, the what?
I know that that is a volunteer organization.
The Pounds of Life?
Points of Light, 1,000 Points of Light. So remember that organization.
Oh, 1,000 Points of Light. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that organization.
Okay, all right. No, that's fine. Maybe because I have your email address here, I'll write to you and give you some background. We'd be able to maybe scratch around and find something about it.
Great. Please reach out to us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, colleagues. And the last one, Mrs. Nkize.
I want to thank firstly Dr. Shozi and Prof. Manleni for raising the question of benchmarking. The reason why I'm raising this up here is because one of our deliverables here for the annual performance plan is to ensure that we place our people or our students overseas. The whole idea is for our people to experience a foreign environment. So you're saying that you might offer accommodation and donated meals and so forth, but at the same time, giving our students and our staff an international experience, and for students an international experience, which is so well sought by employers these days. These days, employers want someone who has an international experience. So regarding the issues of travel and so forth, Prof. Manleni, maybe we can sit together at some point and start looking at how we could assist you identify some of the projects that you might need to forego. And I am happy to assist with writing motivations to some departments that could also be of assistance to you. Thank you.
That is powerful. I was really looking forward to this, the outcomes of this meeting. We are really, it's moving us forward as a university. And thank you very much for that, Mrs. Mkize. At this point, we have come to the end, and I'm very sad to say so, that we have come to the end of our conversation. But please keep in touch. You've got the contacts in front of you. And please, if you need areas of clarity, don't hesitate to contact COSAS and also contact us as MUT. And I just want to hand over to Dr. Shozi to do a quick vote of thanks. 1 minute only. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me just thank our Univen students who have been connected. I've seen one or two professors from there when we're connected. Thank you very much, Prof, for steering the ship and actually driving the program. Let me just thank COSAS as well for always available to assist us to understand volunteerism. And also thank Mrs. Kabazela, Sis Mbali. Thank you very much for always assisting with this particular program. Our M2 Radio, I know they come from Macombs as well, counterparts. Our attendees that are here, our schools that actually participated, and I could see that there are other partners as well. We just saw this invitation over our Facebook page, and they also attended. We thank you very much for that. So, and thank you very much. And I must just say that those people who want to volunteer, please connect with COSAS so that you can actually volunteer and over and above this, because the aim of this is so that you can assist your communities. You can also request things that could actually offer and assist your schools and some of the community organizations as well. So, and thank you very much to our leaders, Mrs. Mkize and Prof. Mr. Konkemandleni, for ensuring that program like this will always continue. So for us, volunteerism is about ensuring that students have an experience and also they're able to experience what is happening in community so that when they go out there and work, they'll be able to come up with solutions to communities. And that's why we, as the university, we emphasize that. And also we put students at the center of what we do, because we're all here because we want to mold and ensure that we have students who can be able to be better leaders tomorrow. Prof, you said 1 minute, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Parting shots from Nikki?
No, I'm so excited that we got to do this again, and we're really looking forward to continuing to build our relationship with MUT and other universities in South Africa. And I can just please give us a contact, And we look forward to engaging more about ways you can get involved and we can organize together to build a better world. So thank you again so much for having us, and we're so happy to have been here.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.